Amen. We're continuing our series on achieving an alien mentality. Achieving an alien mentality. Glory be to God. And so we just want to, for your eyes, your ears, and your heart, let's open back up to two openings. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. And yes, we're going to read this 100 million more times. Amen. Because it's going to help us to achieve that alien mentality. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, that's something that's not automatic.
Amen.
Not something that's not automatic. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
So 1 Peter chapter 1, let's read it, let's hear it, let's read it and hear it and read it and hear it and read it and read it and so forth. Amen. Because there's something to undo something. It takes a while. When you talk about renovating the mindset of how we've been thinking for years, that's a mighty, mighty task.
Yes.
But we know the Lord is up to that task. Amen?
Amen.
So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. Again, the title of the series we've been working on again is Achieving an Alien Mentality. Verse 1, Peter, and I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. All right, let's go to chapter 2. Same book, 1 Peter, chapter 2. Look at verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. I want to look at one more. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, we read these quite a few times, but it don't hurt to hear it again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11th chapter and the 13th verse. the faith chapter, the faith hall of fame chapter. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And the reason I want to go back over that one is because notice that they acknowledged in themselves who they were. They were strangers and exiles on the earth. That's something we need to acknowledge, that that's who we are. These terms reminded them that they were truly not of this world, that we were just passing through. And again, the various synonyms are aliens, foreigners, strangers, temporary residents, exiles, and outsiders. That's what Christians are, because we're not truly members of this society. Remember, aliens literally mean in the Greek, alongside what?
The house.
Alongside the house. Christians live alongside the house. Those in the house are those of this world. Alongside are Christians. We're not in the house, meaning we're not of the house, meaning we don't think, we're not supposed to think as they think.
Amen.
We're not supposed to act as they act.
Amen.
We're not supposed to do as the world does, as society does. We're supposed to be completely distinct and separate. We're to live alongside, but not be a part of. Remember, we are in the world, but not of the world.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
So I think that achieving this AM mentality, we use the word achieve. The word achieve means that's something that doesn't happen overnight. It's something that's through a process. It's something that you must constantly, consistently, and continually fight to do. Because, unfortunately, the mentality that we built up in our minds, which has really been put there so slyly and craftily and sneakily, that's not a word, but it is today, by Satan, is the mentality of the world.
Yes.
We have developed an in-the-house mentality. And if somebody doesn't come along and tell you, hey, oh, temptations, hey, Bukaluka, can you hear me talking to you? They don't come along and say, hey, get your attention. Hey, dude, you can't be in the house there. You can't be doing what they're doing. But if no one tells you that, you're just thinking like everybody else thinking and not realizing, hey, something's wrong.
Amen.
That's why the Word of God is so powerful. It draws us into thinking and understanding and living the way God would have us to think, to live and understand.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And so what he's doing with us is teaching us how to achieve an alien mentality. It is not something that happens overnight. And that's why even ad nauseum, ad infinitum, am I going over these verses again and again and again. Because it is not automatic. It's something that is done over time. Okay. So having said that, let's go ahead and that all that was review. So let's go ahead and I think the last thing we stopped on, we talked about the heart of man, and then which was really ugly, man's heart before Christ is a frightening situation. How frightening? Oh no, Pastor, I don't want to hear that again. That's all right, you'll be all right. Genesis 6 and 5 lets us know that every intent of the thoughts of our hearts were only evil continually. Genesis 6 and 5. Scary. Every intent, everything you intend to do, every motivation behind what you're about to do before Christ was only evil continually. That's scary. Don't worry, it gets worse. Romans 3, 10 lets us know that no one understands. No one is righteous, not even one. No one seeks for God. Everybody has turned aside. Together, they have become useless. There's none, no one who does good. No, not one. Our throats are an open grave. Our tongues, we keep deceiving. Our lips, there's poisonous. Our mouth is full of cursing. Our feet are swift to shed blood. That was us before Christ. That's a scary thing. You say, well, man, I ain't killed nobody. K-I-L-T. I ain't killed nobody. Yeah, but you got to realize that your standard of righteousness versus God's standard of righteousness is a whole different standard.
Yes.
You know, we tend to think, well, as long as I ain't like this dude.
Yeah.
And that dude may be someone like it. And we always pick out somebody really crazy that you can easily look more righteous than. Someone, well, I ain't Charles Manson. I ain't Adolf Hitler. You know, I ain't killing people. Yeah, but the thing about it is, though, when you lie, that's a sin and worthy of death immediately because the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
The moment you sin, the moment I sin, the moment we sin, we deserved to die. Because if you turn over to Romans 3 right quick, down to verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come falling short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All means all.
Amen.
All means everybody.
Amen.
All means there's no one who's not included in all.
Amen.
So does that mean then that all is worthy of death?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's why death is here upon man, because man is sin, right? Romans 5:12, through one man, sin entered the world. And then death by that sin, because of that sin. And so all have died. Why? Because all have sinned. That was us before Christ. Jeremiah says, wash your hearts from evil, O Jerusalem, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you? Ecclesiastes says that the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil and insanity. Ecclesiastes 9 and 3. Insanity. Irrational, illogical, and foolish is in the hearts of man. Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and incurably sick. Our heart is incurably sick. Well, what does that mean? It means there's nothing you can do to cure your heart.
Amen.
You need supernatural help.
Amen.
That's why your good can't get you into heaven.
Amen.
You know, people have their scales, right? Balances, the weights. And if their good outweighs, this is the weight is the heavy. Okay. So if the good outweighs the bad, your good, my good is heavier than my bad. I got more good than bad. I deserve heaven. That's Pharisaical. That's Pharisee. You can't get there on your good. If you could, then there was no need for Jesus to die.
Amen.
If all you had to do is just be good. But you have to understand that the Word of God tells us that our righteousness, in other words, our doing good, is as filthy rags before God. Use the graphics in the Hebrew, that means a bloody menstrual towel. A woman who is unclean, who wipes herself with that towel and discards it. God shows that through Holy Spirit, through Jeremiah, and said, that's what your righteousness is to me. A smelly, bloody rag. Use the graphics.
Yeah. Amen.
But we need to hear that.
Amen.
You can't good your way into heaven.
Amen.
Our heart was incurably sick. Jesus told us from out of the heart proceed fornication, murder, adultery, deceit, unrestrained, evil, foolishness. That's what our heart was. No wonder with a heart like that, God had to do something first. Because our hearts were not ready at all to know anything about him. It was incurably sick. And so the first thing he did, let's review, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. First thing he did was to give us life. Spiritual life. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I know this is our review. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead. When? In your trespasses and sins. You were dead. That's letting us know that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And so that means that while we were yet sinners, we were dead. How were we dead? Spiritually. We were alive physically. We were alive naturally. But we were dead spiritually. So he says, while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, of course he's talking to Christians here, because you were dead, past tense, verse 2, in which you formerly walked, I think something, which you once walked, meaning in the past, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit, but that is now working in the sons of disobedience, verse 3, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy. That's shouting ground right there. He was rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, comma, made us alive together. God resurrected us. We were spiritually dead. There was no way we could. The dead can't raise itself. The dead can't do anything. Unless you are supernaturally acted upon by an external force, then you'll never be able to become alive.
Amen.
A resurrection only happens when something external to your being acts upon you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But God, who is rich in mercy, even when we were dead, made us like King James said, you have me quickened. The word quickened means to make alive. That is called a spiritual resurrection. I can't talk about that enough, because that gives God all the glory.
Amen.
That reminds us as his children to give him all the glory. He rose us from the dead. No goodness of our own, only by the grace of God. And you can see why. Look at our hearts. We just read it. It's ugly. We only thought evil continually. Murders and envy, poison was in our tongue. Our lips, our feet were swift to shed blood. We only did that which was evil. And he came and did a not a home invasion, but a soul invasion.
Yes, hallelujah.
He broke in.
Amen.
And it wasn't a makeover; it was a takeover. Thank God for a takeover. And he took over. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And part of that takeover was the new birth. We talked about this, where we stopped last time. He gave us life spiritually. Now we can now act towards or act upon the things of God. Because before that, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it is. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I think it's around verse 11 would be good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. That's tremendous. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Verse 13. Which things we speak, not in the words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. Verse 14. But a natural man, who's a natural man? An unborn person. In other words, one who's not born again. In other words, a sinner, one who's unregenerate. Verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. They don't make any sense to him. And he cannot. What does cannot mean? It is a literal impossibility. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned or appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? For we have the mind of Christ. So if you go back to verse 14, he don't accept them, and he cannot understand them. So I'm telling you this. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins from Ephesians 2, that was our mindset. We could not accept the things of God, and we could not understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Well, if your spirit has to discern them, that can't happen if your spirit is dead.
Amen.
Does all this make sense?
Yes.
So he saw our condition. He saw it before the foundation of the world. Spiritually dead, incurably sick heart, don't want to know anything about God. And then he had mercy. Out of the abundance of his mercy, rich in mercy. He lavished us with the abundance of his rich mercy. Put all the words in there. No goodness of our own. He resurrected us from the dead. And he raised us from the dead. Now we've been positioned to accept the things of God, and to we can accept them, number one, and we can begin to understand them, number two. And that's where we are now. So when we talk about what is it that the Spirit of the Lord had to do, first of all, he had to give us life. We had to be born again. He had to clean us up. Look at Ezekiel. It's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 36. Did we do this one last week? Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. So this is also a review. Ezekiel chapter 36. Look at verse 24. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. Now, this is what's happening when we're raised from the dead. All this is going on at the same time. It's really incredible. Verse 24 of Ezekiel 36. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. So he raises us up from the dead, then he has to clean us up, because there's a lot of filth in us. A whole lot of filth. So he said, I'm going to sprinkle you, and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols, meaning worshiping other gods than the God, the one and true and living God. Verse 26, moreover, thank you, Lord, I will give you a new heart. Uh-oh, because it all was messed up. I'm going to give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you because the other one was dead. Ain't God merciful? And I will remove the heart of stone, thank you, Lord, from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So the heart of stone is symbolic of the dead heart that could not receive. He could not write his laws upon our heart because they were in stone. So you take the metaphor further and you can see that. You can't write on stone for the most part. You can get engraved and all that. Don't get silly with it. But you know what I'm saying. So I give a heart of flesh, a heart that's alive, something that's pliable, something I can work with. Verse 27, then what he's going to do after all that. So then I will put my spirit within you and cause you, thank God for cause you, because we're still so crazy. He has to put his spirit within us and then cause us to walk, live, operate, live our lives. That's what the word walk means. In my statutes, meaning his word, his laws, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I will cause you to walk and live in my ways.
Thank you.
We need that. Now, he gave us life, put a heart of flesh in us, put the Holy Spirit in us, and then caused us to walk in his way. Can you see after all that why you are expected, I am expected, we are expected to live this thing out before God?
Amen.
Sure, you did all that?
Yeah.
My Lord. Absolutely. Now, he took out the heart of
stone
and put in the heart of flesh, okay? Now, why a heart of flesh, okay? Look at Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Make sure I don't go too fast. Make sure everyone has it. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. We're going to start there. Everyone have it?
Amen.
Okay. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, the new covenant made originally with the house of Israel and the house of Judah is a covenant that is also in line for us, and that is also for us today. So don't think, well, I ain't house of Israel and house of Judah. Yes, we are involved in this new covenant. Look at verse 30. Skip down to verse 33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law, right, which is the word of God, within them. And here it is. And on their heart I will what? Write it. And I will be their God, thank you, Lord. And they shall be my people, thank you, Lord. Because before that, our God was Satan, and we were his people. Right? Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. What does father imply? That he has children. That he has children, right? If he says you're of your father, the devil, and the lust in his eyes of your father you want to do, then he's saying you are the children of Satan. So the children, Satan has children. God is children. By the way, everything is black and white. Everything is black and white. Now, what society is telling you now, that everything is gray. Right? There's no more male or female. There's no more gender. There's the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ plus at the end. They've added plus now because they just do whatever you want to do. I told you all, I had a student tell me, I am non-binary. Like, what is that? Well, I'm either male nor female. She's a female talking to me. I'm neither male nor female, Mr. Harris. I want to say, oh, Lord. I want to look at her and say, child, you are a piece of work, and you're getting on my nerves. You really are. When my wife told me she graduated this year, I could have shouted. And I got to deal with her this year, trying to figure out what to call her, how to address her. After a while, I'm just waving. If you call her she, she'd get all up in arms. What is you, an it? Then what are you? Everything is gray. No, the word of God is black and white. Either you're a child of Satan or you're a child of God. Either the devil is your father or God is your father. Either you're a saint or you're a sinner. Period. Either going to heaven or you're going to hell. That's black and white. And how many would not rather live in that world of black and white where it's crystal clear? Not just, let me just make it up as I go along. He's going to put our laws in our hearts, and he's going to write them. So that fits with the symbolism of a fleshly heart, because I can write on that. And how many, if you're saved today, are glad that the Lord wrote his laws on your heart?
Amen.
I'm super glad. Because on my heart before that was written something else. And it wasn't cute. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, New Testament chapter 10. Verse 16. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. 16th verse. Man, reading these scriptures just reminds me of just what all God has done. And just how bad I was.
Yeah.
And what all he has done. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that in spite of myself, you saved me.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Really? No goodness of my own.
Hey.
Only by the grace of God.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Glory be to God that I still have a mind. Hey. That's an old whining song to go on.
Yes.
Oh, I've been kept all this time. And I still have a mind to go on. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Hebrews 10, 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them. See, Hebrews, this is now the writer of Hebrews. And there's some, not necessarily controversy, some doubt as to who exactly the writer is. Some say it's Apostle Paul. Others say it's some others, but it doesn't make a difference. We know it all came from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So whoever the writer of Hebrews is, what he did was he went back and he quoted the gist of the verse we just read in Jeremiah. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart. And on their mind, he says here, I will write them. Then he said, verse 17, and their sins and their lawless deeds or iniquities, I will remember no more. Wow, is that incredible? I'm going to develop spiritual amnesia, says the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, we know that's not for real in the sense of God can't forget. We know he can't forget. But what that's teaching us is that's how thoroughly and completely I have forgiven you. I'm not even going to remember it. That's powerful. God does forgive.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes we struggle with forgiving ourselves.
Yes.
God has already let it go. He has thrown it as far as what?
It's
from the west. Another verse said that he's thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. I'm going to forget about it. I'm going to throw it into the sea. That's how merciful he is. In spite of ourselves.
Amen.
He said, I'm going to write it down and then I'm going to forgive you. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. And look at verse 21. Remember, our hearts were all messed up, incurably sick, wanting nothing to do with God, speaking evil, doing evil, rejoicing in the evil we're doing. And so he has to fix our mouths and our hearts and our minds. Look at verse 21 of Isaiah 59. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. Don't you love covenants? Because he can't break it. Once he said it, it's done forever. My spirit, which is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth. Now, why does he have to do that? Because we read back in Romans, what was in our mouth, poison of asp, cursing and bitterness. That's what was in our mouth, because that came from our heart that was incurably sick. So thank you, Lord, that he changed our vocabulary. My words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from your mouth of your offspring. Oh, that's your generation after you. Nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. What a promise. I'm going to put my word in there, and you're going to teach it to your children and then your children's children. That's why, boy, we tell young men who are fathers, your responsibility is incredible.
Amen.
Because you're going to influence generations, plural. Because what you taught to your children are going to be taught more than likely to their children. Good or bad. Good or bad. We really are generation builders. That could be another name for a man. The generation builder, both as a husband and a father. And that foundation needs to be firm. That's why I relish my role as a mentor. Thank God for that. I take that very seriously, because what God is doing through my life, and he gets all the glory, is if someone hasn't been taught by their father or a significant male, then he can use my life to fill in that void and then teach them. They can go from there.
Amen.
Generation builders. Men as leaders. That's a profound verse. But we need to speak his word. We need to know his word. Look at 2 Corinthians, the last one, about why he had to give us a new heart and fix our mouths and all of that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You, talking about the church at Corinth, the saints of God living at Corinth, living in Corinth at the church there that was set up by the Apostle Paul, you are our letter, Apostle Paul, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Yes. That's what God has done. So when your lifestyle impacts somebody else's, then it's being written on their heart. I don't think we realize just the kind of impact that we're supposed to have as aliens, as Christians. When we go in and mix inside the house like everybody else, then what example are you setting? How bright is your light? How salty is your salt? Be the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
What are you writing on other folks' hearts and minds? What the Lord is showing us here, that our alien living will impact other people. Literally impact them. Just as bad living will also impact them in a negative way.
Amen.
Because I guarantee you, somebody's always watching.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody's always watching.
Amen.
And I guarantee you also this too, you never know all who's watching.
Amen.
You'll be surprised at who's watching. People are watching you that you have no idea even are in existence. And so the Lord had to do something. He had to make us alive. Put in a new heart. Put his words in our mouth. Put his spirit in us. Give us a new spirit. He had to, because we were so dead, damaged, decayed. Putrefaction set in, spiritually speaking. We stunk.
Yeah.
Our actions were foul.
Yes, yes. Amen.
And I don't care what people said about us. When we were not born again, to God, we stunk.
Amen.
Oh, he was a nice guy. He did this and that and the other. Yeah, he looked good in front of you. But you don't see his heart.
Amen.
Or her heart. The word of God already lets us know where we were. And even if we didn't commit murder, we were capable of it.
Amen.
And even though you may not have had sex with everybody that moved, you were capable of it.
Yep. Yes.
Some of us were violent. Some of us mouths were full of cursing. Some of us were full of bitterness, envy, hatred. God knows us.
Amen.
We don't need to fake no funk.
Amen.
Don't need to pretend we was all that. God already named you out. He done put a grocery list out there. Pick which ones you were. And most of us going to pick off multiple things on that list. Am I right?
Yes.
Multiple things.
Amen.
Yes.
Multiple.
Yes.
But God,
yes,
who is rich in mercy,
yes,
infinitely, sovereignly chose, say, you know what? I'm going to give life to this fool. Because that's what he is. He's a fool.
Yes.
Gave us life. Put his spirit in us. Put his heart. Put us a new heart in us. Put his words in our mouth. Wrote them on our heart. To that, we say thank you, Lord.
Thank Amen. You, Lord. Thank you.
As we get ready to close, we're talking about an alien mentality to achieve it. And in order to achieve an alien mentality, and by the way, achieve again, some of the synonyms means to attain, to accomplish, to reach, to complete. All that takes process.
Amen.
All that takes time to reach it, to complete it, to accomplish, to realize it. In order to achieve an alien mentality, one must feast on the meat of God's word. I want to say that again. In order to achieve, to attain, to reach, to acquire an alien mentality, where you think like an alien, where you think opposite of the way the world thinks, you must feast on the meat of God's word. The meat is a solid food, not just the milk. Must feast on the meat of God's word. Why? Well, milk does not promote alien mentality thinking. For someone to intellectually, spiritually develop, right? To develop intellectually, spiritually speaking, milk will not do that. What milk does is begin the process. Excuse me for getting so technical. Amen. But we need to be there. So there is a place for milk.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Just like the newborn baby we talked about in 1 Peter chapter 2. Milk begins the process of spiritual growth. But if a Christian is left in that state, what is that? Of constantly being fed the milk of God's word. If we're left in that state, then that person will never grow or mature to the point where they can achieve an alien mentality. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Yeah. If you're left in that state where you're being fed with milk and you never transition to the meat of God's word, then more than likely you're not going to achieve an alien mentality because it's just milk. That's why some of you all out here now came out of churches, they just kept feeding you milk. Have faith in God. Well, that's true. He tells us to have faith in God. Jesus said it, Mark 11:22. He said, have faith in God. But what is have faith in God? Faith in God. Faith in God. Faith in God. Okay, I heard you preach. You said it 10 times. You say it. You stomp your feet. Put your hand by your ear. I heard that. Now, I want to know, what is faith? Who is God? Two key questions in that one thing.
Amen.
What is faith? How do I have it? What does it mean? And then who is this God you're talking about? Milk is have faith in God. Meat is what faith is, who the God of the Bible really is. And understand that this God of the Bible is not necessarily the God that's out there when they mention God. She got to know to discern between that. Does that make sense? Save, oh, I'm saved. You happy about being saved? That's great. What does that mean, being saved? Milk is just light, fluffy stuff. Still the word of God. But you can't get into the deeper things of God. You won't grow. It starts the process. But just like a baby, if they stay on milk, something's going to happen, isn't it? They're not going to become a very healthy child and on up. And so I want to transition, as we're about ready to close, transition into understanding that milk is not going to get this mentality developed like the meat of God's word. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then we'll stop there. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men. Men, key word. But as to men of flesh, as to infants, see that, in Christ. I couldn't speak to you like a grown spiritual man. I had to speak to you like a grown spiritual baby. Verse 2. I gave you milk to drink like mothers give their little infants. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, that's me. For you were not yet able to receive it because you're so immature. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, verse 3, for you are still fleshly. That's what milk does. It keeps you fleshly. Does that? That's why we went over a lot of verses today. That's what you want. And I pray that, you know, we set this up on at the website and so forth, that you go back over it. Because a lot of information was covered today. A lot of verses covered. It's because we want to get to the meat of God's word.
Amen.
We want to develop an alien mentality. And that's done by the word of God. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for the word that was taught here today. I pray, Father, that you are writing this on the fleshy tables of our hearts. That you write it upon our heart and mind, rather. And that you put it in our mouth. That we may meditate on it, speak it, do it, and then teach others also. Father God, continue to help us to develop an alien mentality according to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.